What's up, Dental Marketer Tribe? I hope everybody's having a great, great day today. It's Sunday here, 1st of October. Fall is here. Fall is here, everybody. And it feels like fall, at least over here in California. I mean, it got cooler out of nowhere, wind blowing, sweater weather. Feels nice, nice. I really, really love fall. Fall is like my favorite. It's my favorite season. Anyways, this episode we have the wonderful, wonderful guest, amazing guest, Gary Cady, and you guys already, by me saying that name, probably already know who it is. But he has published so many books. He has done documentaries, Million Dollar Dentist. I mean, he's done a lot. You guys are gonna see all the knowledge Gary has. And to be honest, he's been one of the most exciting guests on this podcast. And I love it. I love his enthusiasm. I love his energy that he brings onto the show. Just like you guys, he has a lot of knowledge. And one of the things that I notice is, because of all that knowledge, he has so much like words that can be converted into quotes. Like let me just give you some. He says, you need to surrender to win. He also says the reason people don't know where they want to go, it's because they don't know where they want to go. And there's another one. In life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you think you deserve. He says another one. Human beings go through a remember forgot stage. I mean, he says so many. One of my favorite quotes that he says is, on a good day, you save a smile. On a great day, you save a life. And besides, like, you know, all this wonderful knowledge that he gives you, he also lets you know the most important thing when it comes to running your practice, how to achieve that. He talks about plenty of stats and what we should be focusing on in our dental practice. Should it be new patients, new patient experience? Should it be something else? Should it be retention? What should it be? We talk about that. We talk about the best forms of marketing. Should you be marketing anymore? Say, for example, you're getting 100 plus new patients every month. Is marketing really, or new patients really the problem here? I mean, we get really deep into it. And very exciting episode. I really want to have him back on again. You guys let me know as well what you guys think. Please message him and email him. He is a wonderful consultant. On a side note, if you are looking for new patients, or you want more brand awareness, or you just want to be out more in your community, guys, don't sleep on me, okay? I do ground marketing for your practice. Why teach your employee, or I can do it myself. Just let me know. Book a consultation with me. Go on the homepage and then click on services, and then you can see where it says, you know, what I can do for you. Or you can just shoot me an email at michael@thedentalmarketer.site. I'm mentioning this because I only have a couple spaces available left for clients, okay? So if you are interested, you guys let me know. I'll work with you in whichever way possible. My purpose is really just to get the stress off of you. I don't want you to be stressed and trying to attract new patients, trying to see where in the community you can be, set up at events, what you should do, you know what I mean? Things like that. You should always be busy being in the community and attracting new patients. And so that's what I do for you. Anyways, besides that, guys, on a side note, or not on a side note, just on a regular note, here's going to be the episode. Gary's really excited to talk to you. I always talk, I was telling him a little bit about my audience and you beautiful people. So here he goes.
What's up, tribe? I love tribes, man. And I love going off. I love podcasts, you know, so yeah, wherever you are, man, thank you for allowing me the privilege of connecting with you. You know, I got started a few days ago. I'll call it a few days, many days. You know, worked with, you know, like I said, 4,000 practices, and I started in my trunk. I started out in my trunk, and I, you know, before that, I was a marketer. You know, I marketed dental practices, chiropractic offices, restaurants, hair salons, you name it. I had a direct marketing company known as Money Mailer. I bought a franchise when I was 24, and it was cool because I went into Entrepreneur Magazine. I had 15,000 bucks to my name, and I said, you know, what could I do? And there was this marketing company where you would go out and solicit ads for, you know, marketing to a little community, and then sell the ad. And put it in an envelope and it would mail out and they would get results. And inside of there, Michael, there was dentists. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I would find myself hanging out in dental offices, Michael. I'm like,
yeah.
This shit, this, I can't swear. I'm like, this thing is awesome. You know, I'm a young guy. There's like gorgeous women everywhere and one guy, like no competition and beautiful women, bro. I'm like, I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, in all due seriousness, what I was doing was I was bringing patients to the front door, and guess what was happening?
People were coming in?
They were coming in, yep. I would get like 100 new patients a month, right?
Oh, wow, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then guess what I learned?
What?
They were going out the back door. And they were there. They didn't want to be there. They just wanted to get a cleaning. And then they wanted to go out the back door. And then the business model that received that patient did not know how to engage them in a way that to understand the true value of dentistry. And I'm like, and then the dental team hates and abhors to sell things. So I'm like, this machine was built in like 1940 and these practices are still operating this way today. You know, yeah. I've never seen a practice. I've never seen a business, Michael, that didn't have a sales process in it. And I'm not talking about like high pressure sales. I hate that. But I'm talking about dedicated person, patient educator, you know, how to take care of the transaction. That whole model was just shot. And I'm just sitting here going, man, I sold my marketing company. It did really well. I had the number one franchise in the nation when I sold it. Mm-hmm. And I dedicated my whole career to dentistry and really understanding the science behind it. My background is in people and business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned the clinical side after. So, you know, I developed this whole methodology around flattening out the old model and then rebuilding it in a way that I'll talk about today with you.
Yeah. So when did you sell your marketing company?
It was in the late 90s when I sold it off finally. And then ever since then, you know, I've been just rocking and rolling in dentistry and really understanding and evolving. And what's really cool is, you know, I mentioned I started out from my trunk, and I would go in the big practices, like the 2 million, the 3 million, the 3 doctor, the 5 hygienist practices, because, you know, you have to understand business in order to, you know, consult and direct them. And that became my sweet spot. My game was, you know, I would do 10 practices. I would increase each of them a million, and I would charge them 100 grand. And then that was my equation to get to $1 million a year. And I did that. And became very successful doing that, you know, and it really provided a nice lifestyle. But as you grow older in your career, and that's one of the things that we've taken on is working with millennial dentists and team members to operate from a practice ownership and career management place. You know, if most dentists, you know, they come out of school, they're healthcare providers, but they really don't understand how to be financially free, how to leverage all their assets. You know, all those types of things. So I'm saying, Mark, you know, I know you're a dental marketer and new patients are important, but what I'm saying is that the infrastructure inside the practice and then how you manage your career and leverage the assets of the possibilities of that license and how many things you can do with it is really where it's the difference maker for those that retire financially free, you know, at 40 or 50, and those that do not, you know.
And so how did you do that, man? How did you go into these practices and like get them as your clients? What did you tell them?
Well, I used to speak and I used to write, and I speak and write articles, and people hear my philosophy, which is not, you know, your garden variety of approach, because I believe that, you know, when I walked into a dental practice, Michael, what the problem was that the dentists keep, you know, the problem with dentistry today is there's so many different philosophies out there, and then you don't know which one works, you know, and there's great ones. I mean, they're all good, but it's like if you're trying to piecemeal this together, it's really difficult. So I designed a methodology that, because when somebody came in as a dentist, they would hire me, right? And they would go, hey, can you fire my team because they really suck? They're really horrible, you know?
Yeah.
And they would blame it on the people. And what I realized was there was no business model that was set that you could isolate and find the inefficiency proactively, not when your bank account. See, most dentists manage their measures by their cash flow and their bank account. That's way too late.
Mm-hmm.
See, the business model is on the inputs, not on the outputs. So I got to see this. So we created this triple win business model called the Complete Health Model. And we reverse engineer. So we help dentists design their life, not default into it, hope that they get there and struggle along the way. You see, what we do is we say, if you want to do $1 million, you're one doctor, one hygiene practice, you want to work 4 days a week, you want to take, you know, 6 weeks off a year, then we know how many days you're going to work. So, you know, it works all the way down to the dentist needs to do 5,000 a day in production, the hygienist needs to do 1,000 a day, and you're working your 15 days a month, let's just say, and then at the end of the year, everything turns out. If you break it down, this big elephant, and eat it one bite at a time and set your business model up. And then, you know, we've evolved so far, like from my trunk, and we did everything on Excel spreadsheets. Now I have this thing down to, you know, it's less than $1,000 a month, $1,000 it starts at, and then it goes up there depending on the practice. But it's all automated now. So we now, you know, I designed this for millennials. I mean, it's all designed. You can run your whole practice, train your team with our Denflix videos and our Engage Learning Center, have everything be automated. You don't have to think about the business side anymore, all from your smartphone.
Man. So you don't just improve the practice, right? You're kind of more in the whole aspect of the life. Like, hey, man, like, you got to think about retiring. Like, yeah, it's cool that you're making $1 million a year or above that. But are you, like, working 7 days of the week, you know, 12-hour day? So you kind of you do the whole thing, huh,
as far as your lifestyle? Yeah, because we believe being successful just isn't about money. We believe being successful is serving your family and being home if you're a parent. Like, you know, like having your spouse see you and not being obsessed. Because I was obsessed with work. I mean, I'm a workaholic. I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm 9 years sober now. I mean, you know, but
stuff, man.
Oh, bro, I went through hell. Like, my wife wanted to leave me. You know, it was like a Western song. You know, my wife, I could have gone bankrupt, you know, if I didn't take care of myself and get straight. And it wasn't until I got straight and I listened to some good people and followed success instead of tried to create mediocrity on my own. And that was a big lesson. You know, you talked about what is a turning point. I love your questions for our podcast. Like, what's the turning point? You know, it's like surrendering to win is something I learned. Surrendering to win, meaning, like, you know, you know, when you're younger, I know you have dental students and younger dentists in practice. When you're younger, you're more identity based. You're trying to, you know, I understand the psyche of a 20, 30, 40 year old. You know, you're trying to build your identity, and you're also acquiring. You know, there's a great book called The Keys to the Kingdom, if there's for men and women out there to understand your men. Keys to the Kingdom, and it talks about prince, knighthood, king, and elder. You know, because you're trying to get your identity. You're trying to prove to the world that you matter. You know, you're going through that process, and you don't even know you're going through it until you're on the other side of it. And so I help dentists eliminate that curve. You know, so if you're a breadwinner male dentist and you're having to generate, or if you're a female dentist where you want to have a nice balanced lifestyle, you want to be a mom, you want to look good and go to Pilates, and you want to have it all, it's like we custom design the lifestyle that they want to live and not defaulted, you know, to wait till they're 50, Michael, but it's right out of the box. Like, you don't, in dentistry, suffering's optional. Pain is necessary. That tells you got to make a change. Suffering is optional. If you're suffering out there, I'm telling you, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer. If you have a license and you care and you're willing to raise your hand and say, I need help, people will help you move from A to B to Z fast if you're willing to surrender and listen. And that's hard to do when you're in your 30s trying to prove to the world that you matter and acquire things like houses, cars, families. Yeah, you see?
That's a lot of good advice, like, right now in that little short amount of time, man.
Somebody, dude, I'm bringing it. You know, when I saw the opportunity to chat with you today, I was so honored, and to bring this work to your tribe, man. If I just make an impact on one guy or gal sitting out there going, you know, I'm just sick and tired of doing what I'm doing, and I want to really crank it out, and there's a way. See, somebody did that for me, and that's why I feel that's my purpose, is to take the young dentist. That's why I wrote my book. My new book's coming out, Dentistry for Millennials. It's like, if you're a millennial, you know, how do you run a business in today's world? If you're an older dentist and you want to know how to deal with millennials, that's what this book's for. If you want to attract millennials in your practice, you have to have a certain, you know, vibe and brand that's going to do that. And so, you know, I've taken on my career just to focus in on the next generation of practitioners and students. By the way, if there's dental students out there, we donate every time someone buys an educational platform called our GabeWorks. we donate one to a student. So if you're a student out there and you're hungry and you want to step right into private practice, and I know you got them in your tribe, Michael, get with us, man, at Next Level Practice, and make sure we get your name, because we want to give these scholarships to business and team education. You know, it's called our Netflix for dentists, and you know, we have over 2,500 hours of business and team and leadership education, and it is badass, bro. It is badass.
That's like good stuff.
Yeah, it's sweet. So you'll be able to, you know, we give those away. So you know, that's we're building a list of students who are, you know, up to good stuff, want to jump into ownership of practice, and we donate that from every time somebody invests in one, you know, a private practitioner who's practicing. So this way, we're taking care of the next generation of private practitioners. And the reason why this is important is because if we don't create private practitioners, we believe that the care of dentistry is going to go down. We believe that. And we believe that the future of dentistry is built on the private practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so what is one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase dental practices' profits?
Yeah. Man, when I preparing for this, I had two, man. I was like, oh man, I want to do them both. But I'll give you the one, and then you can read it in my book if you want to get it. It's I call it SPF, because you know, I believe we're in dental climate change right now. Like, you know, there's the global warming of dentistry, right? Mm-hmm, you know, corporate dentistry, the new type of workers, changing the industry dramatically, and so I call it my SPF. You got to put on good SPF. So that is how you become financially free and profitable. Is S stands for salary, P stands for profit, and F stands for freaking equity. So, so you got it. That it's the practitioner that understands how to leverage those three things: salary, profit, and freaking equity, and understands that you're in three types of businesses. And when you master each one of those, I mean, that's what's going to help you get to practice the way you want, have the income the way you want, and the life balance the way that you want. But that's not the one I want to give you. I want to give something more practical, that like if you're a practitioner who might be struggling right now and you want to really ramp up your profits, I'm going to give you what I call my lost revenue locator. Lost revenue locator, or LRL is what I call it. So I'm going to go into it a little detail here, Michael. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So here's, if I go in when I'm speaking and I'll go, okay, doctors, how do you want to grow your practice? What do you need to grow your practice? 99% of them are going to say new patients. And so the first paradigm shift in being profitable is to know that there's three ways to build a practice. I call it my care system. CARE stands for CA, stands for case acceptance, R stands for retention, and E stands for the experience of the new patient or new patient acquisition. So if I were to ask you, Michael, of those three, which is most important in being profitable, and if you could just focus in on one that would affect all of them, which one would you pick?
Would it be the experience?
Yep, 9.9% of people out of 10 would pick the experience of a new patient or a new patient acquisition. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, and that's why I'm so glad that, you know, you went for it there, is retention. The paradigm shift here for your listeners I want you to get is, when you retain your patients, when you have a system that has the patients come through at least twice through your office, then you automatically increase your case acceptance because they're showing up. You can't close a case of people that are not there, right? Logic.
Yeah.
And then if you focus only on new patients and you're dropping new patients like I did when I first started in this business, I was dropping 100 new patients in the front door and 99 of them are going out the back door.
Man.
Yeah, and here was the question that changed my life and my career and the careers of many dental practitioners out there. When was the last time you bought something that you didn't think you needed, was going to cost you thousands of dollars, may hurt you, and take time out of your day?
Man, probably yesterday.
Dude, what? Why would you buy a boat or something? Some guy goes, hey, yeah, my ex-wife. I was like, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, here's what happens. Like, what the problem with dentistry is, and this is the number one thing, is that it's intangible and the consumer doesn't understand the true value and the why behind being there. The only reason why they're there is because their grandma and their grandma's grandma and the grandma's grandma grandma said, you need to go see your dentist twice a year. And they said, go see your dentist, but they really only want to go see the hygienist to get their teeth cleaned, and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here's the statistics. You ready for these stats that are pitiful?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is crazy town. This is where we changed our strategy. 20% of people come back twice through your hygiene department out of 100% of your patients. Only 20 come back twice. Yeah. A great number come back once, and another great number comes back even less than that. So, you know, you're getting so few people coming back twice, and the reason is because it's just a cleaning. So, a quick story here that changed everything for me is my dad had a heart attack, and then I was going into a dental practice the next day, and I'm hanging with hygienists in the department, and I'm going, ladies, we need to do this, and then, you know, we're having this conversation. They go, you look pretty sad. I go, yeah, my dad had a heart attack last night. They go, how was his perio? And I'm like, how is this perio? My dad had a freaking heart attack. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Yeah. And okay, this is when I was in practice. I was working in practices for like almost 10 years. And she taught me about this team taught me about the oral systemic connection. And being a non-practitioner, I knew that was the pay dirt for creating value. So I invented a business model, starting all the way with the medical history form and tying health to the mouth, overall health to the mouth, and put a patient education system in that the patient now understands that it's not just a cleaning. And, you know, on a good day we save a smile, and on a great day we save a life here.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, yeah.
To that, and they go, "Oh my gosh!" And then here's what happens to the team: they have a purpose that's way bigger than just, you know, being a tooth mechanic and a gum gardener. You know, and they're just, you know, slapping crowns on. But now they have a mission and a purpose that they can get by that's way higher. And all of a sudden, we have all the science behind this. You know, 1 in 2 heart attacks are triggered up by periodontal disease. You know, if you look at my medical history form, my grandfather died of pancreatic cancer. I had pancreatitis. You start educating me that itis means inflammation and that I have so much inflammation in my mouth and that 62% higher incidence of pancreatic cancer when you have full-blown, you know, periodontal disease like I had. Now, all of a sudden, you're having conversations that are way different, and the patient now understands the true value and invests in the care. So that's how you build a practice from the inside out, internal marketing in addition to external marketing.
So in a good day, we save a smile, but in a great day, we save a life.
Amen.
Dude, that's like a bumper sticker right there, man. That is perfect. Did you just come up with that right now, like on the spot, or no?
No. That's a mantra that we stand for. We believe in, you know, we believe in the oral systemic connection, and then we believe in creating a mission for the practice that, that everybody buys into, and then all of a sudden you start educating from a whole new place, and the patients feel it, and they're like, I need to show up here, and they understand the value. So that's why it's part of our system. It's part of a process.
Yeah. And so for example, right now, the dentist who's listening and they're like, man, you know what? I am only getting maybe 15 new patients a month or maybe 10 or whatever, but my case acceptance and retention, like I present the case and then they're just like, does my insurance cover it? No. Okay. Maybe another day or another time because they want their, you know, everybody wants their insurance to pay for everything. So like, how can they improve that retention rate then? Or how can they just talk to the new patient or the existing patient to improve the retention rate?
Yeah, well, we have a 5-step healthy patient blueprint that we invented that we trained the team up on, and it's 5 simple steps. The first is, what's the patient's personal motivator? See, if you're presenting crowns and fillings, you're presenting a commodity, and that's not what people buy. They buy longevity and sustainability. They buy health. You know, most of the time, patients are thinking dentistry equals what? What's the word association? Pain, right?
Yeah.
Pain physically, pain financially. We turn dentistry into practices, into the context of it, the vision, purpose, and values of it, that we're here for longevity and sustainability for your overall health so that you can emotionally be there for your kids, your grandkids. You know, you're going to feel better, look better. If you're an athlete, you know, this is a, you know, a body tune up. You eat well, you work out, you know, how's your health of your mouth? So the first thing is you have to tie, you know, do they want to look good? Do they want to feel good? You have to get what their emotion is. We call that the personal motivator. The second step in the five-step process is something called the healthy mouth baseline. So what happens is Dennis, when I asked 1,000 patients here in the Flatiron building in front of my office in New York, can you tell me what a healthy mouth is? Not one of them could tell me. So we invented a healthy mouth baseline that you can download from my website at nextlevelpractice.com for free. Mm-hmm. Just go on resources and you'll get some free healthy mouth baseline samples that you can adapt and use in your practice. But it basically benchmarks what's healthy. And then the third step is problem, consequence, solution. So most people are presenting solutions and the patient doesn't think they have a problem. And that's why they say, do whatever my insurance covers. That's the bureaucracy of insurance. Hmm. But when you highlight, the biggest investment you can make is in an intraoral camera and just show them the big Grand Canyon, the bleeding, the pus, all the stuff going on. It's irrefutable. And then you highlight the consequence of no action. And then the S we used to say is solution, but it's really shush. Let the patient come to you and say, how do I get this out of my mouth? How do I pay for it? Now all of a sudden they're coming to you and now you have the leverage you need. The fourth step is something called the trust transfer. You know, there's the hallway of amnesia, I call it, where like in the back, you think you close the case and then all of a sudden, you know, they walk past room number 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They get to the front desk. Hey, you ready to schedule that? And they go, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the trust transfer, how we move from the back to the front, the handoff. And then five is fitting the treatment into the lifestyle. It's removing the barriers for money and insurance and having them accept it, you know? So those are our five-step process. And we train teams and we have videos how to do all this. And it's really simple. And like I said, it's less than $1,000. I mean, that's why I designed it for a young doctor who doesn't have a lot of money, but understands that they need to do something. And this thing is automated. And I have an app that if you have Dentrix, Eaglesoft, or Open Dental, it's all housed in the app. So you'll have your stats for hygiene, all your stats. And can we talk about stats for a minute?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love stats.
All right, let's talk about stats. So I want to do the lost revenue locator. Mm-hmm. I want to finish it off because it's a measure. So the way we do it is if you have a patient, now that you know retention is most important, when a patient comes back to your hygiene department, let's say everybody out there is on PPO fees. Let's just call it $150 for each pro fee exam, and then you're doing bite wings once a year. Mm-hmm. Let's just call, you know, gross with PPO fees. Let's do really low PPO fees. Let's just call it $200. Okay. So the patient coming back twice is worth $200, right? That's fair. And even in the lowest sections of like Pittsburgh or, you know, some of the lower areas where fees are low. So let's just call it 200, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's retention. Let's go to case acceptance. The average, when you put this five-step process in that I just shared about, Michael,
mm-hmm.
average adult will invest in the value of a crown and a buildup. It doesn't mean everybody's going to buy a crown each year, but when you have a good patient education system, taking care of the whole body and they understand the value of it and the team's fully on board, trained and be able to do this, the average adult will invest in crown and buildup. Let's just call that $1,000. $1,000, okay. All right?
For crown and buildup, right?
Yeah, crown and buildup, you know, fee. Again, it's just a benchmark. It doesn't mean, you know, some people will buy two fillings, some will buy an Invisalign, some will buy a couple crowns, but the bottom line is $1,000 for restorative, $200 for hygiene. $1,200 is now the average annual value of an adult when you focus on internal marketing in your practice, which is marketing is gaining interest, right? And registration is getting the commitment. So it's not just marketing. Marketing, you can gain interest externally by bringing your patients in. But if you don't have a trained front desk person to convert that patient, you don't have registration. So marketing, creating interest, and creating registration takes both facets of it. So the same is true internally. You know, you can get people interested in Invisalign, but if you don't know how to overcome $5,000 as a barrier, they're not going to buy it. They're not going to invest in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and right now we have $1,200, right? Now, let's just say this practice has 1,000 patients. This practice, without any new patients, is 1,200 times 1,000 is $1.2 million. When we first start with this, Michael, this practice is doing about $400,000 to $600,000.
Yeah, you're right, man.
And this is, if your listeners get this, man, it's gonna show them where they have to put their intention and attention. Because right now, most of them are focusing on, if I just had new patients, man, and if, you know, if they just accepted treatment. Well, I just showed you how to get them to accept treatment, turn your practice into a complete health practice, then put the five-step process in. And then I have something called, this is how we create sustainability, the triple win bonus system. So I created a bonus system in my book, Million Dollar Dentistry. It's 90,000 in print right now, Million Dollar Dentistry. You can get it on Amazon or my site at Next Level Practice. But man, I wrote that thing about 10 years ago, and I didn't think anybody's going to read it. And it's become the Bible for how to create a team and how to put accountabilities in by position, and then how to bonus them. See, most bonus systems are done on the month and on collections, and that's collective as a group. So you'll never change behaviors. So what I did was, we do a reverse engineering. So if you want to do a million, I said earlier, 5,000 for the doctor, 1,000 for the hygienist. Now the appointment coordinator, their responsibility is 5,000 and 1,000. Now imagine each day that person's going to get paid, let's say $10 per column per day. You add that up times 16 days, you know, two columns a day, that's 320 bucks or a Michael Kors bag. They're all over it.
Yeah.
You see, they're going to change their behavior.
So do you think like an incentive program for like the office manager, the treatment coordinator, not the treatment, the treatment coordinator, yeah, or the scheduler, everybody needs an incentive program?
Everybody on a daily basis, because what we do is gamify, you know, like Candy Crush Saga, man. Everybody's playing it, you know, Subway Surfer. They're all playing it because it's gamified, right? Mm-hmm. We gamify the practice and we get people jacked up about playing the game. But if you don't know what your measures are and you don't know what game you're playing and you're all over the place, you can't scale your business, because then it's, because you have to understand, the team's not there to make you rich. The team's there not to lose their job. So the problem is that you have a doctor owner that is not risk averse and that wants to grow. And the better they run their business, the more money they make. And it's the opposite with the team. They're risk averse, playing the game not to lose. So you have to know how to approach that and put a game board in that everybody's wins. And you have to change and shift your team to become entrepreneurs of their own specific area every day.
So how do you think somebody can do that? Like incentivize, a scheduler would be like incentivizing putting production, right, on the schedule, I would assume.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like what would an office manager kind of do?
An office manager in our model, especially with the type of practices that are listening here, doubles as a treatment coordinator, because the same muscle that it takes to manage a team is the same muscle it takes to manage a treatment plan. It's called agreements, management by agreement. Who's going to do it? What are they going to do? And by when are they going to get it done? So we give 1% on the cases that get closed and paid for at the time of presentation. It's a game changer. And then there's the assistant. They get incentivized on the dollar amount per day in the doctor's schedule. So if your number is 5,000, the appointment coordinator fills it from the front. And then the assistant is filling it from the back to make sure 5,000 turns out, like looking in the chart, seeing if they could do another crown for that day. But if you don't have the game board set up and the gamified and rewards and all these pieces and parts, you know, they're going to sit there going, you're paying me 15 bucks. I'm just going to do the least amount of things that I could do for my 15 bucks. You know, I'm a nice gal. I'd show up on time, leave on time, but I'm basically cashing my check and moving on. Mm-hmm. This has them have a vested interest that's way different than the average practice.
And like a back assistant, how do you think they should have it set up?
We do assistants in the back are all tied to the doctor production, because the assistant is the most trusted person, Michael, in the practice. Mm-hmm. You know, when I designed this, I'm not a clinician, I'm a business guy, right? So I go, I better know what it's like to sit in a dental assistant's, you know, chair. And first of all, they feel like they're the low woman on the totem pole and they don't matter. They feel like, oh, I didn't go to hygiene school, so I really suck, and I'm going through my day, and I'm like, you know, low self-esteem and that kind of stuff. Not all of them, but I'm just saying, you know, the ones I worked with. Mm-hmm. And so you know what I did? I go, you know what? Not in my house. We're badass around here. You know what we're called? We're ninjas. No, I'm not just an assistant. I'm a ninja. I'm a healthcare ninja. Yeah. And then guess, all of a sudden they started changing their behaviors, And when the doctor walked out, you know, this is what happened to me. I was assisting a doctor. I was codifying this methodology from the inside out. I'm not kidding you. The doc walks out. What do you think the patient says to me? Do you trust his dentistry? Is he lying to me? Should I do this? And yeah. I'm the one who's actually the decision maker for the patient, because the patient knows that I don't have any vested interest of buying my next Porsche in their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And so you mentioned barriers. Like, for example, say somebody presents an Invisalign case, right? $5,000. And then they don't accept it. That's because they have a barrier. So, like, if I'm a dentist, I'm thinking, like, okay, next time, or once I'm done listening to this episode, I'm going to see if I can close or, like, destroy this barrier. How do you kind of do that? Like, how do you just kind of talk to the person? Is there, like, a script, or what do you recommend?
Remember, marketing is creating interest. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, this Invisalign, this is awesome. Yeah, I want it. And then what's their first question? How much is it? Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you say, it's about $199 a month. You don't say it's $5,000, because think about it. You have to turn dentistry into the automotive industry. See, we designed and we work with Care Credit to have the payment plans be a monthly payment plan, and now it's accessible and affordable to everybody. You're fitting it into the lifestyle. That's the fifth step in the five-step process. And you don't use your traditional, do not use your traditional software, you know, because it's like the Torah. They read it from the right to left. Like, I'll take the MO, not the D. I'll take what insurance covers. I'm not with this. And they're confused, and a confused buyer buys nothing. But if you use the Care Credit financial option sheet that says your total investment is $5,000, we've been able to maximize your insurance, it's $1,000. Your responsibility is $4,000. And then you just say, today we have, what we do is we give a 5% courtesy for those that are ready to step into this right now. Does $3,800 work for you? And that's the first step. And if they say, no, I don't have that kind of cash. By the way, 20% of people have cash and they want a discount. The next buyer is the monthly buyer, and they want to buy with interest-free financing. So they'll go, you know, Dr. Michael is so committed to you getting healthy, he'll pay the insurance for you, I mean, the interest for you, for 24 months. Does $199 work for you? And they're going, heck yeah. But here's the thing, brother. I'm not selling plastic trays. You know what? You've got to understand what you're actually offering. You want to listen for a divorced person looking for a relationship. Mm-hmm. A person who, you know, here's another example of a person that you have to listen to the motivation and speak to it. My brother got braces, but I never got them. And now my kids are out of school and now I'm going to go take care of myself. Like, this is how you create the emotional motivation on the front end using that five-step process that I shared about earlier. And then you remove the barrier on the back end, and now you've got a machine. You've got a dancing machine that helps people.
Man, okay. So, like, you broke it down easily. Man, yeah, okay. I got it.
Are we rocking this podcast, bro?
It's just so much knowledge being dropped right now that I'm kind of like, I need to write some of this down for myself.
Dude, you got to invite me back, man. You got to bring me back.
All right, next question. What is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
Wow, I read that wrong. I would never do again. All right, I'm not prepared for that, because the other ones I kind of read and I organized my thoughts. This one, no, I actually got it. This is key. I blamed my team and everybody else and my circumstances for my life. And I was a victim of circumstance. And I, you know, you would look at me and I'm like, you know, they're like long driveway, houses, cars, you know, I got it all handled. But I was blaming people for not getting what I wanted. You know, I went through my struggling times. Mm-hmm. And I blamed people. And what I've learned is that freedom comes from putting boundaries in and taking 100% responsibility. Look, don't blame, you know, your front office person. You were the one that hired them. you know, you got to take responsibility for causing and creating that person so that they work. you know, are blaming patients. You know, patients have no clue. They come from medical practices and they run amok on medical practices and they throw insurance at everybody. And then we expect them, because they're in a dental practice, they should operate differently. No, we got to train them to do that. We got to train patients how to be patients in a dental practice. We have to train team members to be team members in dental practice. And we have to train ourselves to be great leaders and managers and great fathers and, you know, moms and husbands and wives, you know. And so I would say, you know, and I get caught at it. I'm not saying I've got this perfected at all. Every day I got to work at this, but it's blaming others. It's not taking 100% responsibility for your life.
And so how did you learn that? When did you stop blaming others?
I stopped blaming others when I was brought to my knees, where I was drinking. I was going to lose my wife. See, people don't make changes, Michael, to move toward pleasure most of the time. Most of the time, people have to hit a bottom. And that's the one thing that I'm a stand for, that people don't have to hit bottom to make changes. You know, I had a hit bottom. I'll give you the picture. My son was diagnosed with autism. You know, and here you are, a young dad. I'm a young dad, and I'm like, you know, I have these dreams for my son, you know, and he's going to be a Yankee, and he's going to have a life, you know, he's going to have the life that I didn't get. You know, that was one thing I said, I'm going to make sure I take care of. My dad wasn't around. I go to every soccer game. Right after I get off of this, I'm going to see a soccer game. Like, I'm always on the sidelines. I'm always like present in his life. I talk to him. I walk him to school. Like, that's important. But here, you know, he went to the pediatrician. They said he's got full blown autism. And at two, they said he's not going to mount anything. He's not going to be able to play sports or like, you know, go to regular school. He's going to need a caregiver and you need to prepare for this, you know? And I was just like, my life was over at that point, you know? And, you know, I'm starting to get really moved, man. It's like, whew, you know, it's
yeah.
When you get kids, like, it's like, and then you have no hope. It's like, holy crap, you know? And it's like, anyway, so my wife, you know, we're kind of like, we were numbed and in denial about it. We're like, he's going to get better. I'm like, rub dirt in it. He'll be fine. He'll grow out of it. You know, and my wife goes, look, he's not getting better. We were living in Arizona at the time. She goes, I found a school in New York. We're going to get this kid help. But listen, you know, my nickname in college was Party Fresh. They're like, listen, Mr. Party Fresh, it's time for you to, you know, man up and be a dad and a husband. And, you know, you don't have to quit drinking, but you can't stay here. And my wife, you know, I looked at her straight in the eye, and I told her I was going to quit many times, and I lost trust with her. And it was like it was booze, family, choose. And it was like, you know, my business, I'll always be successful because I'm a hard worker and all that. But ultimately it was like, was I really successful? Was I really having fun? Did my wife love me, you know, look me in the eye and love me? Was I there for my son? No. So that day was the last day I had a drop of alcohol, and I asked for help. I surrendered. And what I learned was that it's in the moment of surrender that you're set free. Like, I was in a personal prison and I couldn't get out. And the only way that I was able to like mitigate some of the mental anguish that I was living in was, you know, throw down a few beers every night, you know, or a bottle of wine. But, you know, when you're having two bottles of wine and you're watching Clay Aiken rerun American Idol, and it's like season 15, and you're still sitting on your couch, you know, watching Clay Aiken, you're like, dude, you got to wake up. And, you know, there's a great movie, and this is no kidding, I was walking past this TV store one day, and you know how TV stores have like the big bank of TVs. Mm-hmm. I happen to have, I'm no kidding, this is when I knew my like that there was something bigger than me. I'm walking past, they have Shawshank Redemption on, and the guy goes, you better get busy living or get busy dying now.
You know? Yeah, that would have been, dude, man, that's a good movie, man. That would have been
It's a good movie. Yeah. It's a good movie. You should check it out. It's an oldie. It's a real oldie, but man, that line, YouTube it, man. It gives me chills because that stuck with me. It's like, you know what? I got to get busy living here. You know, this is about living. I'm walking dead. I got to wake my booty up. And everybody goes through it. By the way, every great entrepreneur has to confront the boogeyman, Michael. You know, I've taken 4,000 practitioners through this journey of facing the boogeyman. Every human being has a boogeyman inside them. And then the minute you stare that sucker down until he goes away or she goes away, You know, I stared alcoholism down, bro.
Yeah, man.
And I'm that. And you know what? Here's what I learned. I didn't do it alone. I got help. My wife gave me love and compassion. I found the system that worked, and I followed the system. You know, but mm-hmm. I had a man up when I didn't want to. You know, when I was afraid to give up alcohol, which was my best friend. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I'm sober. My son is a rock star. He's on the honor roll in a private school here in New York City, off the autism spectrum. And my wife donates her time educating parents on how to heal kids that have been inflicted with this disease.
That's amazing, man. So overall, stop blaming others, right?
Stop blaming others and don't be a victim of your circumstances. You're going to be dealt crap along the journey. It's like you're bigger than all the crap, even though sometimes you feel like the it's insurmountable. But I promise you, there is always a way out. Always.
Yeah. No. I mean, I remember that saying that says, like, if the whole world were to throw their problems in one pile, you'd probably grab your problems right back, because
exactly.
You wouldn't want what everybody else is going through. You know. So all right, last question, man. What is the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
Yep, that's a good one. I'm going to say this tool that I learned. It's really the foundation of integrity. Integrity is really the foundation of all business and people relationships. And we invented a tool that's practical that is used in a dental practice and at home. And my favorite one is when dental team members take it home to their kids and use this there, because it's universal. It's called management by agreement. So what happens is we tell people, like, hey, can you take intraoral pictures on every patient? And what happens is you say it, but it goes out of existence. But if you actually create it as a tool and you say, look, we're going to operate from a place of management by agreement. And the components of management by agreement are who, what, and by when. So once you have that, the who, what's, and by when's, then what happens is once you have an agreement that that's how you're going to roll in your practice, when you bring something to somebody, you say, like, all right, what's going to be the agreement that we're going to use to address this situation? You're not just going to be blowing air at it. You're going to go, okay. The agreement is that we're going to have four intraoral camera pictures up on the screen when I come in for a recare visit, or I can't come in. And so what happens is human beings go through remember, forget stage, remember, forget, remember, forget. And all of a sudden, as long as you stay with it and you keep it as a tangible agreement, it then becomes a new habit. And this is how we get implement. This is one of the key secrets of how we get to implementation happen, which is management by agreement. And then the other piece of this, Michael, if I could add, This leads to my second book, which is Raise Your Healthy Deserve Level. Because what I learned is that you're going to reach a ceiling, and that what I learned is how you bust through that ceiling is this thought that in life, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you think you deserve, nothing more and nothing less. If you don't think you deserve it, and I as an advisor come in and try to help you get it, you're going to subconsciously sabotage it. So, and I saw this with relationships, money, everything can be related back to an internal conversation about what you allow yourself to receive and deserve and have. And what I learned is that this deserve level concept is rooted in if you have your integrity in, then you're going to allow yourself to receive things because you know yourself to be a good person. If you live in shame and guilt, like the distinction shame and guilt run underneath stuff, and shame and guilt kills off all possibility for people to receive love, respect, money, honor, houses, cars, you know, tangible things too. And so this mechanism plays underneath dental practitioners' minds, and once you understand it all, you're set free, and then you can notice when it starts showing up that you can get back on the horse and get back into deserving again and operating from a place of management by agreement.
Awesome, man. Awesome stuff. So much good knowledge. This is probably the one interview where I myself have probably leveled up or learned. Let me just give you a little bit of what you said. Dentistry is into the automotive industry, right? Then you said a confused buyer buys nothing. Then you said people don't have to hit bottom to make changes. Then you said, get busy living or get busy dying, right? Then you said, every great entrepreneur has to confront the boogeyman. Don't be a victim of your circumstance. Man, you've said so many quotes on bumper sticker. Like, we could make this. Dude, start a separate.
We're going to bumper sticker business.
Yeah. Man, you said, I wrote a bunch down. You have a lot to share, man. Definitely gonna have you on again. Do you by any chance do private coaching? Like, if a dentist is listening to this and they're like, this is great and I love the automotive process, but I just want to like hire you, Gary, like I want you to be on my team. Yep. Do you have that?
Yep. Yeah, we do. What I decided was, we're a boutique firm, so I don't have thousands of clients. We have clients in 44 states in Canada and the Caribbean, but we keep a very small group, and everyone that we work with gets to work with me, because I believe that the founder, you know, should work with, you know, the practice. And what I do best is strategy. And then if you want to work with my team after, we have this implementation program where you have an accountability coach, you get your dashboard, you get your Engaged Learning Center, your Dentflix, right? So they work with me first. Imagine sitting down with me for a month, and we do it on Skype. So, you know, I sit down and I go over, the first thing we do is, what is your three specific measurable targets? And this is usually the biggest breakthrough, Michael, for people. Mm-hmm. The reason why people can't get where they want to go is because they don't know where they want to go to. And when I highlight all this and work together and collaborate, all of a sudden they see a new possibility and hope for a new future that they never would have had. And especially, I get really passionate about when I get a young practitioner who really can start leveraging, you know, time and interest rates and equity positions. And right now it's the best time to buy practices, because baby boomers are they're underpricing their practices. They don't have to do it. And I could show a dental practitioner I have a guy in Michigan. He paid for his practice in 1 year. He bought it for $350. He's doing 1.3 12 months. Yeah. Oh yeah. So, you know, this is all possible. And so that's step one. Step two is, I look at the numbers, all the numbers of the practice, see where all the opportunities are, and then we look at the culture. So we then, you know, survey the team, and they fill out a confidential questionnaire, and they give us all their distinctions of what's happening, what works, what doesn't work, and that gives us what we have to do to get the team on board, and how safe is it now, and what do we have to do to get them, you know, ready to receive the systems. And then the third step is we design a step-by-step plan for the next 12 months ahead. You don't have to think anymore. So we built a strategy. We know where we're going to go, how we're going to build it. And then, you know, it's pretty simple from there. Then we just put an implementation program in for less than a crown a month. So, I mean, you know, it's a good tight system. And the investment for that, what do you think the investment for that would be? If you had a month with me, how much would you pay for that?
Dude, man, if I had a month with you, here's the thing, man. Like, I've seen consultants charge $30,000, right? And then I've seen, for you, probably like 50, 60. I don't know, man. I honestly don't know. I feel like I should charge for this interview. Like, I don't know. Or you should charge me for this interview.
You're awesome. It's $2,995, $3,000 for the month. And I promise that I'll pay for myself, and there's no risk. I'll give you your $3,000 back if I don't get you set up for your future the way you want it to be. So I never take doctors' money unless they're blown away by the value. And so that's what it costs. That's the investment for that. And then after that, it's about $1,000 a month, depending on the practice size, to get the implementation to happen. So, you know, it's not only what are you going to do, because most dentists are like told what to do, but if you don't know how to implement it and it's not customized, well, it's not going to work, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good, man. That's really amazing. So, but before we say goodbye, tell the listeners where they can find you.
Yeah. If you want to do this, I'm actually going to hook you up with, I'm going to give you a direct line to me. You can send me an email. Believe it or not, I don't know, I have this affinity with you and your listeners here. I went off today. I hope it was good. It felt good, you know.
That's good, yeah.
I'm going to give you my personal email. It's gary@nextlevelpractice.com, G-A-R-Y, @nextlevelpractice.com. And just give me any feedback, you know. You know, I loved it, I hated it, you know, you're crazy, you know, whatever you want to say. I would love to hear from you guys. Gary@nextlevelpractice.com, nextlevel practice.com. Or you can call my office at 212-388-1712 and just say, you know, I spoke, you know, I was on the Dental Marketer with Gary. He's going to do the $29.95 for a month. It's called the Launch Program. I want to register for that. And then you'll register and then you'll get on my calendar and we'll just kick some butt together. You know, that's just the way we roll.
Yeah. Amazing, man. Thank you so much, Gary, for being with us today. It was a pleasure. And we'll hear from you soon. All right, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, listeners. Thanks for the privilege. Appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
Alrighty, Dental Marketer Tribe, thank you so much for tuning in into that episode. Like I said, so much knowledge, right? So much knowledge. I always thought, you know, new patient experience is important, very, very important. But it is true. What happens when you're attracting like 5, 10, 50, 100 new patients? Are they coming back? Are they rescheduling? What is their pain point? Why aren't you getting them to do more than just a regular, you know, cleaning or a regular prophy or something? Why can't they do more? You got to really pick at it and you got to know the scripts, right? And Gary was talking about a couple of scripts, so I hope you guys took note. If not, just reverse it and rewind it and go listen to it again. A couple other quotes that I like that he said is, a confused buyer buys nothing. And that's so true. If you are confused, if your patient is confused with all this terminology, if they're confused with all these numbers, they're not going to buy anything. I mean, they're just going to be lost. They're going to ask for an explanation. But if you put it in the lamest terms, but simple terms, right, something that they can understand and you can break it down, especially you can break down like how Gary showed, you know, the Invisalign example where he said, you know, Invisalign is going to cost maybe $6,000. But if you break it down and say, you know, it's just going to cost you $199, right, or whatever per month. Wow, my gosh, like that sounds so much better than $6,000 right now. How you want to pay for that? You know, it's kind of like, whoa, you're throwing me off a little bit. So you don't want to confuse them. You don't want to scare them. Another quote I like that he said is, people don't have to hit bottom to make changes. And I like that because a lot of the times we've all hit rock bottom. And it's okay because in my mind, I'm like, you know what? You can only go up from here, which is okay. But I like how he said, you don't have to. And what that means to me is that, like, you know what? Let me ask. Like, if I have a problem, let me just ask somebody. I mean, what's the worst that can happen, right? So that's one. Another one that I like that he said is part of the movie is get busy living or get busy dying. And that's so true. You know, you're either existing or you're living. And another one that I like is he said every great entrepreneur has to confront the boogeyman. And that's true. Like, I've confronted the boogeyman, I feel, so many times, and I don't even have a dental practice like you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys confront it, you know, your staff, taxes, collection, production, overhead. I mean, you confront a lot of things. And so much respect to every dental practice owner out there and everybody just going through it all in the dental field. I mean, I know it's hard, and I mean, like, that's why I'm doing this podcast for you, so I can make it as easy as possible, you know, to share as much knowledge as possible and make everything easier for you as far as marketing and attracting new patients. And that's why I have these guests, these wonderful guests on here, so they can help you with practice management, with hiring the right staff, with knowing what to do with your collections if they're too low, or production if it's too low, and things like that. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, if you enjoy and like what you're listening to, please, please, please drop a review. I check reviews almost every day. So if you drop a review, you know, I know it's you. And I mean, I'll get so excited. It means the world to me when you guys leave a positive review or just give me feedback on Instagram or Facebook as well. Also, don't forget, if you are interested in ground marketing, or if you're like, Michael, what's ground marketing? Go on my website, thedentalmarketer.site. That's .site. thedentalmarketer.site, and it's going to be in the links in the show notes below. Yeah, go on that if you want to be out in the community more, if you want to be setting up at events or having a booth to set up at every week, or if you want to, you know, go attract your employees from Starbucks or from a store or something. That's what I do. I train your employee to do that, or I can do it for you as well. Just contact me, go on my website under services and click ground marketing coaching. Or you can just email me at the email that I stated before, michael@thedentalmarketer.site, and we can schedule a call. Alrighty, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you soon.